Welcome back to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California's finishing a rollout of tablets within state prisons as part of a statewide shift to focus on rehabilitation for those incarcerated. The activity on the tablets is tracked and it's monitored. The goal is to make it easier for those incarcerated to stay connected with loved ones, as well as making it easier to access rehab, leisure, and educational programs. But although the tablets and audio calls are free, there are fees for a range of other services, such as video calls, movies, and music streaming, and that raises a question of who is profiting off this new telecommunication service, especially since nationwide, jails and prisons are increasingly incorporating personal electronic devices. First, we're going to listen to those in prison, though, about how these tablets are transforming their sentences for the better, but also how it runs the risk of becoming a setback. As we all know, how electronic devices can be a double-edged sword. CAP Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolf spoke with journalists within three different facilities and joins us with more. Hey, Kate.
Hi, Vicky.
All right. So when did tablets start rolling out within state prisons and why?
So these tablets began coming to California prisons in August of 2021, and there were prototype pilot program tablets before that, but this was kind of on a mass scale, free tablets for all incarcerated people, and the rollout is actually still happening. They're being distributed this month, for instance, to the California Men's Colony and the fire camps. So it's been a little bit longer than a two-year rollout, but it's coming to a close.
How does it work?
So the Android tablets, they're bigger than iPhones, smaller than an iPad. They're clear, so guards can see if they've been tampered with inside. And they're free to use on the basic level. A California law made it legal this year to make calls for free. So, and you get a certain number of free messages, a free video call. And you do need to pay, as you mentioned, for movies, games, music on a monthly basis. So those services are kind of comparable to what we would pay for those services, like for Netflix and Spotify and stuff. But for people who have been in, who are inside for a long time, they make sense, cents per hour for their jobs. So families are really paying for these services, and family members put money on people's accounts, and they're able to do that.
Is there an internet provider or internet service?
So there is not like an internet browser. You can't access, you can't Google, you can't, you know, use social media or anything like that. But they are kind of updated with up-to-date resources, mm-hmm. mental health resources, law resources, etc.
Given that your focus is healthcare, what prompted you to start looking into this new service?
I got a call from a man named Greg Eskridge, who's incarcerated at San Quentin. He became a journalist while incarcerated at San Quentin, and he's won awards and is the host of the Uncuffed podcast. I know you guys featured a few weeks ago. And he told me he was calling from his cell, which was a big deal for me. It was surprising because normally folks have to wait. And when I say his cell, I mean like his room in the prison. Normally folks have to wait in a really long line to get through at a phone bank. And he wanted to tell me about the tablets and how they were really changing life inside. I think a lot about technology and how it affects our health, our mental health, our physical health. And San Quentin is a really storied prison, right? In March, Newsom said he'd be transforming it into a rehabilitation center. So I think that question of rehabilitation is really complicated and specialized to individuals, but it is really interesting to me thinking about community health. So I wanted to know about how the tablets were affecting rehabilitation, why this deal was made, what the telecommunications companies were getting out of it, giving these free tablets to people.
And it wasn't just Greg that you spoke with. You spoke with two other journalists who are currently incarcerated. How did you connect with them?
So people's families, when they want to get in contact with them, they use something called Getting Out Mail, which is a little weirdly named, but it's an app where you can send emails essentially to people inside. So I signed up for that service and I reached out to a few journalists who have been making work inside in collaboration with other media outlets. And I asked them if they'd want to share more about their experiences with the tablets.
Given that Greg is at San Quentin, you know, what did you learn from his perspective? What did he share with you?
So, yeah, he is the one who gave me, you know, the tip about the tablets. He's a co-host of the Uncuffed podcast. And here's a few things. I'll just let him take it away.
So I've been in prison for 29 years. So when I came to prison, they just had tape players, and then it went from tape players to CD players, then from CD players to MP3 players. Now we went from all of that to tablets. And so I've got a chance to see it come all the way from the Stone Age to the modern era. I mean, it was almost like Christmas time to hear all these grown men up in here hollering and screaming, and everyone's laughing and cheering. I'm like, man, I'm gonna take, what are they? Are they passing out tablets? Or are they passing out release dates? Like, what's going on around here, right? So it was so funny to hear that, but it was so exciting. It was so exciting, and it was so much anxiety and so much anticipation and just so much joy to hear that the tablets are finally here. So during the pandemic, I mean, you had people just laying in the cells all day and just suffering from like boredom, just anxiety of just being like trapped inside of this cell. You hear people yelling and screaming, let me out of here, let me out of here, you know, banging on the doors and just overwhelmed with being inside this cage. But now with these tablets, you don't hear anybody. Like, the only thing you hear in the building is you hear people on the phones talking from cell to cell, or you hear a person laughing at a movie, or you hear the person yell across the chair saying, hey, how do you do this? Or how do you do that? Asking for help with their tablets. So it's definitely just made the lockdown totally just, people are just oblivious to this lockdown now. San Quentin is a peaceful place, so there's really not a lot of violence here. But in some prisons, there is a lot of violence. And these tablets are a way to just totally take people away from that violent mind state. And so I can really see that this becoming a pacifier for the administration, because now they don't have to worry about prisoners, because now everybody has something to do. People have games, people have telephones, they have emails, text messages. And it's just crazy to see that shift in such a short period of time inside a prison.
And I spoke to Greg while the institution was on lockdown. So that's what he's mentioning when he says on the lockdown, everybody's chill now. And people in that instance are confined to their double bunked 5 by 10 feet cells. They're really small cells. Two people can't stand up at the same time in the cell or move around at the same time in the cell. So that's what he's talking about. And yeah, he's painting a really different picture there than during the height of the pandemic restrictions, when people were really on solitary confinement, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so great listening to him, because he has this perspective of 29 years, you know, being incarcerated. He also laid out the benefits, but as anyone that has a smartphone knows, technology can be a double-edged sword. So is that playing out inside prison as well?
Right. And you can hear that Greg feels a little bit conflicted about that silence, too. And that was the conflict that really drew me to this story. There are a lot of people who are not incarcerated who feel glued to their phones. And I was really hearing echoes of that in what Greg was saying. And here he is describing some instances of that double-edged sword.
I just walked around and I noticed that I wasn't maneuvering. I was just walking a straight line to where I needed to go. And I stopped and I looked, I said, man, where is everybody? And then it just hit me. Everybody is in their cells using the tablets now. And it was like the yard is a complete ghost town. And it's so interesting, because the people that you did see on the yard, they're walking around with their tablets in their hand, their head down, and they're just swiping up and down, left and right, whatever they're engaged in on the tablet. And so the prison has went from a social place to a very non-social place. And it's just so interesting, because no one has their head up. No one is actually making eye contact with you anymore. I remember the other day I was talking to a guy. He actually called me over to talk to him. And so I go over there to start talking to him. And he starts the conversation, and then I begin to talk. And the next thing I know, he's saying, And I'm looking, I'm like, what are you talking about? And I look down, he has his tablet in his hand. I'm like, bro, you called me over here to have a conversation, but he's so engrossed in the tablet that he couldn't even finish talking to me. So you see people just doing everything with these tablets every day. And I can see why they say that it is an addiction. Because you see people on there all the time. I've heard some of the correction officers come through while they're doing their count, and you hear them say, wow, everybody's on their tablet. And that's crazy to hear. We're talking about hundreds of people inside of buildings and everyone is on their tablet, like every day, all day. So I definitely think that it's going to definitely change the direction of San Quentin. It's giving people, I mean, it's great, but it's also going to be taking something away from San Quentin that actually helped build San Quentin up into this model of rehabilitation that has become. I think that's definitely going to, we're definitely going to lose a lot of that because of these tablets.
Yeah, and I think that can resonate with a lot of people, especially with keeping your head down and not paying attention to someone talking to you because you're on your phone or on your tablet. So when it comes to who's controlling this, who does the state contract for this? I mean, is there money to be made?
The state contracted with a company that's formerly called Global Tel Link, or GTL, and is now called ViaPath Technologies. And that is connected, we think, to a 2022 settlement of $67 million as part of a class action lawsuit that alleged that they improperly retained money people had put into accounts to pay for calls. So they changed their name soon after that lawsuit. But yes, it's ViaPath Technologies, and otherwise known as GTL, sort of intermittently. And they've used that company for calls for a long time. CDCR has used that company for calls for a long time. And now they've contracted them for tablets, and there's really a huge profit to be made. So often, as I mentioned, incarcerated people make cents per hour for their work, and some of that goes to restitution, but their families can put money on these things for them. And if you choose to opt into movies, music, podcasts, audiobooks, that can be over $20 a month, with 15-minute video calls for $3 is another kind of instance of you know, rehabilitation that does cost money. So here's Greg's perspective.
Imagine 100+ thousand people just even getting $1.99 a month. That's going to pay for the tablets itself. So that is crazy, Kate. They're making a killing off of this stuff. Majority of the people that they brought here don't have jobs. I mean, there are not enough jobs for everybody here. There's not enough jobs. There's not enough education. There's not enough programming to accommodate all of these people. So you have thousands of people with nothing to do.
And it's so lucrative, actually, that the other huge tablet company, JPay, which is owned by Securus, they sued CDCR, the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, because they said the bidding process wasn't fair. And so the state is now essentially working on vacating that contract and starting the bidding process over. So the future of these specific tablets is a little bit in question, but tablets will definitely continue to exist in this form in California.
So you just got a perspective from Greg, who's at San Quentin, but you also got a glimpse of how the tablets within the substance abuse treatment facility and state prison. So, and you met Tuca. Tell us about him.
So Tuca is one of the original contributors to an outlet called the Prison Journalism Project. He did an article when the tablets came to SADF, the Substance Abuse Treatment Facility in Corcoran, about what people saw as the pros and cons of the tech. And something I'll say is that he captured this sort of displeasure with the glitches in the tech. There's a lot of glitches, and there's a high demand to be making calls. So oftentimes it's really hard to go through, and oftentimes it's hard to get your tech fixed by IT folks. But here were more of his reflections.
People feel like they're being tied down or being locked in a cell, and they feel helpless. They feel isolated. So now they have this tablet. I say if a guy can get stressed out, he can use tablet, play a little game, or he could call his family, or he can also read stuff on there about mental health stuff, listen to music, even watch a movie, or read the news that's on there. It does bring down a lot of hypertension in people, stress, and I see it bring down a lot of violent stuff that's going on in prison, you know, and I see less people having like a suicidal ideation.
You imagine a guy being locked up in a room for years and years and have little to work with besides getting nail and some reading material and phone calls like maybe 4 times a month, if not twice a month, you know? And that's your only way to reach out to your family or your loved ones. So that could be very hard and hardening, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when he said very hard and very hardening, I mean, that really stuck with me. Finally, you spoke with someone who was incarcerated at Solano State Prison. What did you learn from Brian Timms about the tablet?
Yeah, Brian is another producer with the Uncuffed podcast, and he shared with me how the tablet has changed his relationship with his wife.
Because I get to go wherever she goes. You know, I get to go if she's going to the bank to get some quarters, a roll of quarters for the washing machine, or, you know, I mean, if she's going out to shop, I get to go and let me see what you're buying. She could take a picture and send it to me on the tablet or a video and dance around for me, you know, so I get to go with her. But I spend most of the money on messaging. We run through money. Like, we run through. Those nickels add up for us. They turn into dollars daily. Yeah, we're kind of silly. We go back and forth with different stuff. We don't just talk business. We don't just talk romance. We're silly. So we're going back and forth with a lot of nonsense, but it's fun to us, you know. And I try to trick myself. So what I'll do is instead of putting $10 or $20 or $25 at one time, which I've done in the past, I'll put like $5 on the tablet, you know, primarily for messaging. Knowing that the wife and I are going to run through that before it's time to pay for movies again.
Yeah, and you really just get a glimpse, like in Brian's case, how it really transformed, you know, his sentence in prison, his relationship with his wife who's on the outside, but also how it can really add up. Finally, what questions do you still want answered about the effectiveness of these tablets?
I think these ideas of justice and rehabilitation and freedom are so murky, and it's hard to quantify the effectiveness of tablets towards rehabilitation. And as Cal Matters reporter Bronda Lyons said in your last segment, CDCR doesn't keep a lot of data on, so it'll be hard to find out if these tablets are effectively preventing recidivism, effectively helping people feel that they have more options than crime in their lives. One measure, I guess, that I am curious about would be whether in-person college classes, therapy groups, and programming in these settings plateaus or goes down. That would be a sign to me, you know, if they decide to take in-person visiting out or, you know, in-person college classes slow their role at certain places. That would be a sign to me that the system is over-relying on this technology for rehabilitation. So that'll be definitely something that I'll be looking into.
Yeah, that's an important point. Kate, thank you so much.
Thank you, Vicky.
They're important conversations. Kate Wolf is Cap Radio's healthcare reporter. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're learning about how tablets within California prisons are shaping the experience for those incarcerated, as well as the challenges that come with additional telecommunication services. We're going to continue the conversation with Wanda Bertram with the nonprofit The Prison Policy Initiative, which researches mass incarceration across the country. Good morning, Wanda.
Hey, how are you?
So I'm doing great, thanks. Thanks for making the time. So California is not the only state that's doing this. How many states currently use tablets in prison?
Our organization began studying prison tablets in 2017, and that was around the time that Colorado adopted its first prison tablet program. And as we studied this, we got increasingly interested in it because the companies like ViaPath, which Kate mentioned, that are selling these tablets are the same companies that for years had been in charge of phone services in prisons, forcing incarcerated people and their families to pay through the nose to make a phone call. So we were immediately interested in, you know, whatever these companies are selling, we're interested in it. So we began following it. And since we've been following it, countless states have implemented, you know, some kind of tablet access. And I'd say about 10 to 15 states have these programs like California's, where they are actually contracting with tablet companies to distribute tablets to incarcerated people.
You know, when it comes to prison and it being profitable for these companies, as you mentioned, how do the profits or the charges for these services compare to the general public?
I think that, you know, Kate was dead on when she said it, you know, a few minutes ago. The charges themselves are typically on par with what you or I would pay for things. If you're buying an ebook, you know, it's going to be a few dollars, $3 to $12. If you're, you know, buying a subscription for a podcast or for music, it's going to be, somewhere between $10 and $20. it's a little bit unusual for tablet programs to have free messaging and free calling, as it seems like California does, at least up to a point. I heard her say that there was a limit on the number of messages you can have for free. But the costs are more or less on par with what we pay.
Governor Newsom, I mean, this comes as the governor says that California is going to reimagine the purpose of state prisons. I mean, the big announcement, at least this year, was the renaming of San Quentin Rehabilitation Center. And the goal is to prioritize rehab and education programs to strengthen public safety. So I bring that up because these tablets are a piece of that. On the one hand, how can these tablets be useful and beneficial? But what have you learned by looking at other states about how this service can also be exploited?
Mm-hmm. Well, for the most part, what I've learned is that I think these tablets are they're good for exactly what you think a tablet would be good for. They are good for video calls. They're good for phone calls. They're good for messaging. Right? There's no piece of technology that we have that's more effective at doing that than a piece, you know, a communication device you can hold in your hand. That's great. You can take it back to your cell, what have you, and you no longer have to use the, you know, the bays for phones. On the other hand, it raises this question of what does rehabilitation actually mean, right? Does that involve, like, what is that actually supposed to be? Is that supposed to be an education? Is that supposed to be access to, you know, certain kinds of treatment? I'll bring up something that Kate touched on a little bit, which is that, you know, there and Greg, who she was talking to inside San Quentin, Greg was having this conversation with a gentleman, and he, you know, wasn't really paying attention because he has this tablet now. And what that makes me think of is, you know, just the fact that, you know, so much of personal change comes from knowing who you are and making connections with other people. And those are things that are not going to happen as much if you are, you know, if you're constantly on a device. It's just not, especially when the prison is not making other opportunities available for people to, you know, to connect with each other. Right. I think about things like prison libraries, which are spaces where, you know, for a long time, incarcerated people have come together to talk to each other and to, you know, to transform together, often, by the way, in ways that resist, you know, things that the prison administration is trying to impose on them. And those spaces are going to be, you know, they're going to flourish less when everyone has a piece of technology that they can disappear into. That's, you know, it's something that we've seen in other states that, you know, sometimes when tablets are introduced or other kind of digital technologies are introduced, the prison will follow up by eliminating an in-person alternative, by eliminating in-person visits with family, or by eliminating a physical library, right? Or cutting a staff position at the library, or, you know, cutting rec hours, something like that. So, sorry to go on and on, but I want to just offer one piece of context here, which is that the COVID-19 pandemic caused a spike in staffing shortages in prisons across the country. Prisons are dealing with vacancies in staff that I think are a little bit more than what they've seen before. And prisons are known for huge amounts of staff turnover already. So prisons are having to cope with this in various ways, and I think that it is scary what we are seeing in prisons across the country right now. Cuts to visits, cuts to programs. One prison in Wisconsin has been locked down for 6 months, probably because of staff issues. And as that happens, the sudden introduction of tablets in California prisons, this technology that, you know, conveniently kind of keeps people focused on, you know, the thing in their hand, and you know, the piece of technology in their hand, and just keeps them in their cells, is, you know, it strikes me as, you know, potentially a sort of a disturbing coincidence, right?
Wanda, thank you so much for the time. We have to leave it at that, but really important points you're bringing up.
Thank you.
Wanda Bertram is with the nonprofit, the Prison Policy Initiative, which researches mass incarceration across the country. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.